Alleluia, alleluia. I chose and appointed you, says the Lord, that you should go and bear fruit that shall last.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Lay the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this?" They answered, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Heavenly Father, by your Holy Spirit, apply the words of your scriptures in our hearts and lives, that we may more faithfully follow Jesus for his name's sake. Amen. The local church has the highest possible calling. A calling to be God's co-workers in the outworking of his glorious mission purposes, transforming the world to reflect more of God's kingdom values. And Christians possess the greatest possible good news, which in a sense is criminal to keep to ourselves. Matthew 13, those first two parables of Jesus talk about treasure, the discovery of treasure. One kind, the treasure buried in a field, is just happened upon. Maybe a tenant farmer ploughing the field and just strikes it and becomes aware of it. And the person in the parable is determined to have it, to sell everything they have, to possess the field and therefore the treasure. And joy is the hallmark of discovery. The other parable is similar, but this time a pearl merchant who doesn't accidentally hit upon something, but actually is out there actively seeking, engaged in a proactive search for fine pearls. And in his searching comes upon a pearl of such outstanding beauty that it's worth selling his whole collection that's been accumulated over the years in order to own this one pearl of great price and beauty. Priceless treasure. And Paul, writing to the young church in Rome, unpacks a little bit of that priceless treasure. Focusing on the work of the Holy Spirit, he explores being children of our loving Heavenly Father. We've received the Spirit of adoption, enabling us to cry out, literally shout out at the top of our voices in joy, joyful acclamation. Abba, Father. Abba, Jesus, Aramaic language, almost colloquially, Dad, Papa. Jesus' own favorite form of address to his Heavenly Father, a word of intimacy. A reminder that to live the Christian life is to live embraced from start to finish by our loving Heavenly Father's arms. A place of well-being, a place of security. And a place of security in an immensely insecure world. Bombing in Oslo earlier today. The insecurities in the Arab world in the wake of the so-called Arab Spring. The horrendous pain and suffering in the Horn of Africa. The financial insecurities in the States and in much mainland Europe and our own country. A quite apart from the personal insecurities that we face as we go through life. And many of those that we rub shoulders with live with anxieties and insecurities, often unexpressed. And as Christians, we have this priceless treasure, deep, deep security in a relationship with our loving Heavenly Father. Good news worth sharing. The psalmist so often talks about God as our rock. God as our rock. Good news worth sharing. And Paul goes on to spell out Christian hope in Romans 8. Hope in the face of a suffering and imperfect world. As Leslie Newbegin, as he returned from many years as a missionary bishop in India, was asked what he noticed most about British culture. And his reply was the absence of hope. And Christians, above all, are an Easter people, people of hope, in a world where often hope is in short supply. Again, we have that privilege and that responsibility to share the good news of hope that's rooted in the life and ministry of Jesus, in his death on the cross, in the empty tomb on Easter day. And the third parable, with a solemn note of judgment, reminds us that there is a real sense of urgency. Tremendous responsibility laid on us to be those who share in word and action the good news of God's amazing love in Jesus. And a major calling for clergy today is to be leaders in mission, to be leaders in evangelism, inspiring God's people by teaching and by example, to be those who share the good news. Enormous amount in our culture to undermine confidence in doing that. And we need to recognize that we're entrusted with this priceless treasure and to be confident in sharing it. And I sense that Andrew is quite an activist, and that's always good. But it's important for activists, of course, to return regularly to the deep wells of spiritual refreshment and renewal, allowing the Holy Spirit to reaffirm regularly your own privileged status as a child of your Heavenly Father, unconditionally loved by Him, your ministry, rooted in God's grace. And then Romans 8 contrasts two very different ways of living, flesh and spirit. Flesh, an all-embracing word, a way of life, I guess, that puts self at the center, an attitude of mind that can't see beyond the purely physical material reality. Living in a society dominated by material and consumer values, focus on personal fulfillment and rights rather than responsibilities. The challenge is to inhabit the spiritual realm. And an important role of the Holy Spirit is to point to Jesus and to enable us who are followers of Jesus to live out his values, his kingdom values, to live the life of Jesus. We can't do it on our own. And that's why it's important to belong to a community of faith. And within that community of faith, what is impossible individually becomes achievable through prayer, through fellowship, through openness to the transforming life of the Spirit of God. And Andrew, again, as your leader, as vicar, has a responsibility faithfully to set before you biblical teaching, biblical values, to inspire, to encourage, to challenge. And the ordination service, of course, reminds us that as we have that responsibility to lay the values of Jesus before others, so we are to allow those values to shape our own life, our personal life, our marriage, our family. And often Paul refers to himself as an example for his flock to follow. Good news to share. Leader in mission and evangelism. A call to discipleship and Andrew's important ministry as teacher and preacher within the body of Christ here. But then there's more. It's good that Andrew's researched a period of church history, because he will know only too well that it's crystal clear from the unfolding history of the Christian church in this country and around the world that Christian discipleship finds expression in a variety, a rich variety of forms. And it's a hallmark of Anglicanism to embrace a rich diversity of forms of expression. It's true of those forms of worship, often most controversial, of course, in the life of a local church. And Lechlade is a church that in recent years has held together more traditional forms of worship and more contemporary forms of worship. Those of a higher tradition, Anglican terms, and those of a more evangelical tradition. Often in a church family, there are those for whom the pace of change isn't nearly fast enough, and those who would wish that there was never any change. And a vicar's role, amongst others, is to be a focus of unity, to hold in tension different traditions, different strands of church life. In the statement of needs, there was a clear statement about the rich mix of church life here. And Andrew, in his application, rejoiced in that and majored on the fact that in his ministerial experience so far, he's included a lot of diversity, serving in a more Anglo-Catholic church as well as more evangelical church, working with both traditional forms of worship and more contemporary forms, experience of rich choral liturgical tradition, experience of incense and vestments and bells. And he spoke of not just tolerating that diversity, but actually valuing it. And that is so important for the sake of unity in the body of Christ. But while valuing that diversity, also rightly and properly, rooted in his own convictions, the centrality of Scripture, the centrality of a personal relationship with Christ, the centrality of the cross, the centrality of mission and evangelism. And at the end of that gospel reading, Jesus commends the good scribe or teacher who draws on the old and the new. And of course, Andrew will also be a member of the South Cotswold Team Ministry, which again embraces diversity. And it's a great team, great sense of partnership, great sense of covering the parishes, doing the large number of vacancies. And I'm sure you'll be welcoming Andrew this evening. And there aren't a great number of team policies, but there are some, and it's important to honour those. It's always an important place to question, to discuss if one's wanting change, but then to be willing to stand by team decisions. And I know that Andrew will bring lots of gifts to enrich that team. So a good day today for the life of Lechlade and the South Cotswold Team Ministry. And we pray for Andrew, for God's rich blessings upon his life and ministry here, and upon the people of God who will share that ministry with you.